May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 692. If Solomon for wisdom prayed, the Lord before had made him wise, else he another choice had made, and asked for what the worldlings prize. Hymn 692.
Thank you. from the Holy Word of God. We'll read together Deuteronomy chapter 31. The book Deuteronomy chapter 31. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, He will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, king of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua, and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And Moses wrote this law, and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, At the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the feast of tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as ye live in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thy days approach that thou must die. Call Joshua, and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went, and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of a cloud, and the pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, Are not these evils come upon us, because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they shall have wrought, in that they are turned unto other gods. Now therefore write ye this song for you, and teach it the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves, and waxen fat, then will they turn unto other gods, and serve them, and provoke me, and break my covenant. And it shall come to pass, when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song shall testify against them as a witness. For it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed. For I know their imagination, which they go about, even now, before I have brought them into the land which I swear. Moses therefore wrote this song the same day, and taught it the children of Israel. And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge, and said, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. And it came to pass, when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book, until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, Take this book of the law, and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against the Lord, and how much more after my death? Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears, and call heaven and earth to record against them. For I know that after my death ye will utterly corrupt yourselves, and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you. And evil will befall you in the latter days, because ye will do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. May God bless to us that reading from his holy word. May he teach us each how to pray. Most merciful and gracious, and almighty and eternal Lord God in heaven, we do thank thee for this privilege of gathering this Lord's Day morning in this house of prayer, and for the privilege of gathering around thy holy word. And Lord, we do pray that we may truly value and esteem it as a privilege. And Lord, may we not take these things for granted. Lord, we do pray that as we gather here to worship thee this day, that thy presence and thy blessing might rest upon us. And we pray that in the reading and in the preaching of thy word and in the singing of thy praises, Lord, that we may be drawn away from the dying, changing things of this life and to be raised up and lifted above the reach of inferior things. We pray that it may be a true Sabbath to our souls, that we may know something of that rest which remains for the people of God. We may know something of that liberty and that freedom which thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has purchased for his poor, unworthy people. And we humbly pray and seek for thy gracious appearing in our lives individually, that we may know thy sweet persuasions, Lord, that we have an interest in the things done by the dear Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that our hearts may be touched by his love and mercy, that the love of God may be poured out upon us, that we may know a Saviour's love, that we may know something of that dying love, that thou draw us in our thoughts and considerations often to Calvary. And Lord, may we be found often at that empty tomb. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. We do pray that thou would help us then, and bless us this day as we meet for worship. Lord, we meet to give, to render the praise due unto thy holy name. And Lord, how often we feel to come short in these things. We're conscious, Lord, of our that sin is mixed with all that we do. Lord, we pray that thou would help us. Thou knowest our weakness, the weakness of our faith, the lack of our faith. Lord, thou knowest, Lord, the state and condition of each of our souls. Lord, in our need, we pray that thou would arise for our help, that thou deliver us from the power of sin and Satan, that thou pour out thy Holy Spirit upon us, that he may take of the things of Jesus and personally reveal them to us individually. Lord, we pray that he may dwell in us, ordering all things for us. We pray that our hearts might be inclined to good things, that thy grace might abound, Lord, as a multitude of sin abounds within us. May thy love and mercy abound to the saving of our souls. Lord, we pray then that thou wilt remember us for good, that thou wilt take not that thou wilt take not thy Holy Spirit from us. We are poor and unworthy. Lord, we are in need of so much. We think, Lord, as we gather this Lord's Day morning, Lord, we think of the things that are taking place in our nation. And Lord, we have seen, Lord, many things in the times we have lived through. Lord, we pray that we may not just see them, but that thou will grant us a true understanding, an understanding of the times that we are passing through. Lord, we have had the health of our nation greatly affected through the COVID. And Lord, it is still present, and thy hand is still upon us. We pray, Lord, for any who are suffering in this and in other illnesses, Lord, and sicknesses. We pray for them, unable to be here, maybe through affliction. We ask healing mercies, restoring, recovering mercy. Lord, we see the wealth of our nation being affected. Lord, art touching our nation and causing us to pass through a day of tribulation. And Lord, we do not know what and where these things will end. And we pray that in much wrath thou wilt remember mercy. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt be pleased to sanctify these things to the souls of many, in bringing them to thy feet, bringing us, Lord, for surely it begins with us. Lord, we pray that we may truly humble ourselves under thy mighty hand, and that thou wilt exalt us in due time. Lord, we pray that thou wilt bring us to thy feet, and may our eyes be up unto thee, and may our lips, Lord, be given a spirit of true confession of sin. For we each have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And may we not have any pride. Lord, may we not be found in complacency. May we not take anything for granted, Lord, and we have this time of great change. And Lord, thou hast removed a prime minister, and Lord, we have another to lead the government. And Lord, in the same week, our Queen has been taken from us in death. And we now have a King reigning as supreme in our nation. And Lord, these things are ordered of thee. And Lord, thy people have been pouring out their hearts for change in our nation for good. And we pray that we may live to see the answers to those prayers. We humbly pray that these changes, these great changes that have come upon us, may be in answer to those prayers, that it may be that change, that beginning of change that thy people have longed to see and often sought thee for. Lord, we pray then in these things, thy love and mercy may be seen. And Lord, that thou pour out thy blessing upon our nation. And we pray, Lord, for our new king and our new prime minister, that in these new paths that they walk, that thy blessing might rest upon them, that they may be given wisdom to know what to do for the good of our nation. And Lord, we pray that it might be for the good of thy people and for the good of thy church here below. Lord, we pray that these things might work together for good, and thou be pleased, Lord, to turn us as a nation unto thee. O Lord, we pray for thy recovering hand of mercy to be upon our nation, turning many from their idols to serve the living God. We pray, Lord, that thou revive true godliness in this land. And Lord, as the eyes of the world are upon our country tomorrow, and as many of the leaders of the nations of the world gather in London tomorrow for the funeral of our Queen, O Lord Jesus, may thy name be faithfully proclaimed. May the gospel of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ go forth, we pray, in great power. And may much be done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. O Lord, we pray, we ask great things. Lord, these are great times we are living through. And Lord, thou art the God of all flesh, and there is nothing too hard for thee. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt pour out thy spirit, and may the power of Almighty God attend the preaching and the reading of thy word. And may, Lord, that prayer be answered here this day also, and in every place, in every occasion, where thy name is faithfully proclaimed, when thy word is read, Lord, may it bring forth much fruit. May it prove to be that good seed here even this day, that it may take root, and Lord, that it might bring forth much fruit to thy honour and glory. So help us, Lord, we pray. Remember us each in our various lives and pathways. Lord, remember those that have changes. We think of the children with the changes that this time of year brings. We do pray for those that have new things in their lives, those that begin different forms of education or maybe work. Lord, the things that are new in their lives, Lord, we pray that they each may find thee a prayer hearing and answering God, that they may, Lord, be brought to prayer and be blessed with faith and know those answers of peace. So help us, Lord, now as we turn to thy word. We ask that thou wilt follow with thy blessing. And Lord, may anything not of thee be forgotten. May everything of thee remain and abide with us. Forgive, Lord, anything that is amiss, as we ask the pardon of every sin. We ask, Lord Jesus, in thy name. Amen.
Hymn number 882. Prayer was appointed to convey the blessings God designs to give. Long as they live, should Christians pray, for only while they pray, they live. Hymn 882.
Will you turn with me to the chapter we read, Deuteronomy chapter 31, with the Lord's help this morning, I'll speak to you from the 8th verse. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 8. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 8. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. This book, Deuteronomy, is a book of remembrance. And it is written by Moses to bring to remembrance the things that God had done for the children of Israel and the things that he had promised to do for the children of Israel. And it was written to, it was spoken by Moses, and it's the book of Moses, and he re-emphasizes those things concerning the law and the promises that God had given. And in this chapter we're told that it is the end of the life of Moses. And that the children of Israel are yet to cross Jordan and go in to possess the promised land. And you'll remember the children of Israel had sinned, a great sin of unbelief, when they had been brought to this place 40 years previous, and the spies had been sent into the land to view the promised land, and they returned with an evil report, except Caleb and Joshua. And the Lord's anger was poured out upon the children of Israel, because sin, unbelief is sin. And it is displeasing and grievous unto God. And for 40 years they had been wandering in the wilderness. There was a delaying of them entering in until that generation that had despised what the Lord had done and did not believe what he would do for them until they had all perished in the wilderness. Except Caleb and Joshua. And here they are. And there is a new generation. And there's this re-emphasizing to them, bringing to their notice the law and the promises of God and the things that God had done for them over the generations previous. And then Moses comes towards the end of this discourse, and he encourages them, because there lay before them much. There was much land to be possessed, and there was the unknown way before them, and immediately there was Jordan, and overflowing its banks. But then what lay before them? Those inhabitants to drive out, to go in and possess their land. And here Moses, in these first six verses, he encourages the people. The Lord thy God, this is verse 3, he will go over before thee. He had promised to. He'd given his covenant promise. And Moses believed it. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And then he is led to encourage the one who would lead them, Joshua. So he encourages the people first, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. And then he comes to Joshua and speaks to him in the sight of all Israel. And our verse we consider this morning is part of that promise and those words of encouragement to Joshua, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. You know, dear friends, if a building has no foundations, however wonderfully it's finished, however wonderful it may look, without a foundation, sooner or later it will fail. And if you remove the foundation from the promises in the Word of God, well, the promises still have an attraction. They still are pleasant words and pleasing. But the promises without the foundation will sooner or later fail. And here these words of encouragement, they have a foundation. And what is a foundation? Well, it's that which gives support, isn't it? The foundation, it gives support. The foundation comes first. If you're building a house or a building, that's where you begin. The foundation is laid first. And the foundation gives support to that which is built upon. It gives strength. It bears the load of that building, and it supports the building, and it binds that building together. Well, this promise, these words of encouragement, they have a foundation, and it begins. Our verse this morning begins with that foundation. And Moses lays the foundation of what he's going to say. And the Lord. This is Moses. He lays the foundation of these words of encouragement unto Joshua.
and the Lord.
Oh, dear friends,
may the Lord apply these sweet words of encouragement and promises to us each personally. May he reveal himself as the foundation of these promises, the foundation of our text this morning, that the foundation of his message to you this morning, this word that's been laid upon me to bring before you, dear friends, it has a foundation. It has a support. It's more than pleasant words, that they are precious words. But there is a foundation. There is a strength to them. There is something that underpins, something that gives these words support and meaning and value. You know, the Apostle Paul, he speaks, doesn't he, of a foundation in writing to the Corinthians in that first epistle in chapter 3. He says this: according to the grace of God which is given unto me, this is the 10th verse, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Moses here was laying the foundation. I have laid a foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's the foundation. Jesus Christ. That is the foundation of true, real religion. Jesus Christ and him crucified is the foundation of the church of God's hope. Jesus Christ, the foundation of all true and real religion. Oh, have you a foundation? Your religion this morning, does it have a foundation? And what is that foundation? Dear friends, if it isn't Jesus Christ and him crucified, then however wonderful your religion is, dear friend, it will not last. It will be like that man's house that was built on the sand. Yes, it will go up. Yes, it will be completed and finished. The roof will go on it, and you'll dwell in it. But then when that day of testing comes, then all will be revealed. Oh, how solemn. You know, don't forget that man finished his house. He finished it first, but he finished it. And a sandy foundation, it will give support. You know, and I've seen buildings with my own eyes that have gone up and finished, and they look something, and it wasn't till time, when the passing of time proved that the foundation was inadequate, was insufficient, would give way. Oh, may you and I, may we truly take heed to these things. What are we building on? What gives us the support? What is giving you the support day by day to live your life how you live it? What is giving you the strength to live your life the way you're living it now? You know, there are people that are living their lives, and they're living their lives, and what supports them in that life is an understanding in their mind that there is no God. That's their foundation. That supports them in their wicked lives, and in the wickedness that they're delighting to do. That there is no God. That's the foundation. That supports them in their desecration of his day and a turning away from him and a despising of his word and his people and his ways. They're supported in their endeavours to fill their lives with the treasures and joys and pleasures of this life, and they're supported by it, by those around them, who are supported by this understanding that they have, the knowledge that they have, and this is the sum and substance, that there is no God, no judgment day, no heaven and hell. What is supporting your life, and what's supporting my life? In the way we're living it out day by day. And how can we sleep at night? And what brings us the peace and contentment we have to not lie awake every night? What is supporting us? Where are we gaining our strength? What underpins our lives? Well, returning to our text, and the Lord. Oh, that it might begin there. Oh, that the promises that you have and the comforts that you receive, you might trace them right back to the fountainhead, right back to the very source. It comes from God. It comes from God. Those times, and we're going to linger here a little. Those times in your life that you've known some encouragement, some help, can you trace it back? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Those times where you've known some support in maybe a day of real trouble, a bereavement, a great sorrow. Maybe there was something you had to walk out and you feared it, you trembled at it, you wondered how it would be. And then, oh, there was a fear not, for I am with thee. Who? Who? Your father, your mother, your husband, your wife? Who was it? There may have been the word spoken by someone. What was the foundation of it? What was the springing up of it? Where was the source of it? Where did it lie? It lay in his hand. The eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath, bearing everything up, and giving it the support, and therefore the comfort and consolation and peace. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. The Lord. Joshua had an enormous task. We read it in the chapter, that the things that were he was warned of would take place, and the behaviour of the children of Israel once they were to inhabit the land and all be brought to a point of ease and contentment. When they had possessed the land, driven out the inhabitants, and were living off the fat of the land, we were told how they would turn away from God and turn to the idols of the world around them, be taken up with those things, and the judgments upon the children of Israel. And dear friend, it was prophesied right through to the day we live in now. And we've seen it, haven't we? We look back over the generations, the history of Israel, and we can see it. Joshua, Moses is to die this side of Jordan, not allowed to enter the promised land, and Joshua is to lead the people. An enormous task lay ahead of him, and he was warned of some of the things, and yet he hadn't physically seen and walked through everything that was to come. There were many testing times ahead of him. There are many enemies. But here is his hope. And maybe there's one or more of you this morning. And or maybe in your life you've got things ahead of you and you shrink from them. You wonder, maybe you know something. You've had revealed a little of what's before you. Maybe it's through diagnosis of something, or you've got appointments, you've got things that you know, if you're spared, you've got to walk through them. Maybe the Lord has called you to do something, or is calling you to do something. Maybe it's an outward profession of faith. Maybe it's to serve him in some way. And there's real fear and trepidation, and you shrink from it. Oh, to have this, and the Lord, he has called you to this path. He has ordered these things that lie before you. He has brought them before you. And maybe he has called you to do this thing. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He's going to go before you. You see, it immediately surely takes us in a gospel day to see something of Jesus, doesn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. When he putteth forth his sheep, because that's what Moses was saying, Joshua, you've got to go. You've got to undertake this great work. You've got to do this great thing. He's putting you forth, Joshua. When he putteth forth his sheep, do not let this slip. Do not let this slip from your notice and from your minds. In the day that you and I are favoured to live in, the day of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have revealed to us in the holy word of God the person and work of his only begotten Son, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. When he putteth forth his sheep, he goeth before them. He leads them as a good shepherd. I am the good shepherd, said our Lord Jesus Christ. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He goeth before thee. He it is that doth go before thee. Oh, you've got to go. You've got to go. You might be like Samuel, who had to go and anoint David, the youngest son of Jesse, as king while Saul was yet still alive. And with that commission given to him by God, what did he say? How can I go? How can I go? Well, he had to go. He had to go. And the Lord's people, oh, they must go, mustn't they? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Oh, you've got to go, but you're not going alone, and you're not going out in front, as it were. You may be called to lead. A father may lead his family, but if he's going as a father leading his family, he's going in the fear of the Lord. The Lord is going before him as he leads his family, because the Lord is leading him. And this thing then that's before you and before me, that maybe we shrink from, he it is that doth go before thee. Oh, yes, unseen, yet forever at hand. Oh, it is him leading as that good shepherd, taking them by the hand, leading them safely on. For I, the Lord, this is Isaiah 41, for I, the Lord, verse 13, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. And the next verse begins, fear not, thou worm Jacob. Oh, the condescension of Almighty God. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, taking his poor, unworthy, sinful people by the hand, worms, condescending to take them by the right hand and lead them in the way that he would have them go, not driving them and beating them with a rod from behind, but leading them, going before them, making the crooked straight, the rough places plain, going before them, making the mountains a way when they get there, going before them, leading them in a right way, in the right path. He it is that doth go before thee. It speaks of two things here. Well, first there's a foundation for the promise, but these two things, that the Lord will be for his people. The first is a leader, a guide, a one to direct them, to lead them. That this almighty leader of his people, he it is that doth go before thee. And the second thing he's promised to do, he's going to guide them and lead them, but he's going to be with them. He's going to presence himself with them in it. And he's not going to go off so far ahead that they know he's gone before them, but so far ahead that there's no comfort, there's no benefit, there's no blessing. Oh, it would be a wonderful thing for the Lord to go before his people in whatever way, but oh, to have him going before, but with. He will be with thee. And there's a double emphasis on this promise of his presence. A double emphasis. He says two things. One that he will and one that he will not concerning his presence. He says he will be with thee. And what will he not do? He says he will not fail thee. He will not fail thee. Now there is this emphasis here, isn't there? His presence will not fail. Now you may immediately say, well, hang on, if this promise of his presence is true, why then at times do I feel to be so alone, so on my own? Why is it that I do feel at times to be forsaken when his promise says he'll not forsake us? He will never leave us nor forsake us, but you say, I feel left and I feel forsaken. Well, it's really in this. That the Lord's promise is yea and amen. It's sure and certain. And his abiding presence with his people, he will never take away. He will never take himself from them. He will never utterly leave them nor forsake them. He will not give them over and give them up. Yet at times he might withhold the sense of his presence from them, so that he might teach them, so that he might instruct them, so that he might rebuke them and correct them. Many reasons, many purposes, many things. But there is one aim, that they may know him more and love him more, that their faith may be increased, that their love may grow, that they may be taught of him, that they may have more of themselves revealed, and more of himself revealed. It will not be that he gives faith to remove it and take it away, but he gives faith and he tries it, that it may grow, that it may expand, and it may be enlarged. And he gives a promise. And dear friends, he will try that promise. And make no mistake about it. He gives you a promise. It just won't lie there dormant. A nice thing to have. Something to put away and forget about. He gives you a promise and he'll exercise you in it. But he won't remove it. Oh, he gives and he doesn't remove. Oh, he'll exercise you though. He'll have you prove it. You'll have to be brought to write your tried and proved next to it. The Lord trieth the righteous, not to bring them to ruin and to utter despair, but to bring them closer to him, to bring them nearer to him. He'll sanctify. He sanctifies things in the lives of his people. And he does it to bring them nearer to him. He sanctifies affliction to bring that one nearer to him. He sanctifies bereavement. He sanctifies all the tribulations and sorrows to bring his people nearer to him. And surely it's our prayerful desire, Lord, sanctify this to me. And therefore, in sanctifying it, show to me that I am born of God and that my treasure is above. The Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee. He will not fail thee. And you can read later in Joshua, the end of Joshua's life. He reminds them that not one thing has failed of all the good things the Lord has spoken. All the promises given, everything given to Moses at the burning bush, the Lord fulfilled it. Everything given to the children of Israel as they left Egypt, the Lord fulfilled. The Lord fulfilled. And every promise given to Joshua. You can turn a few pages over and we're into the beginning of Joshua, the book of Joshua. And a reaffirming, again, these things are written. Verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And dear friends, these things are true for every believer. The Lord will not fail nor forsake them. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. What underpins it? For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. The Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will not fail thee. He will be with thee, he will not fail thee. Neither forsake thee. And given all these things, fear not, neither be dismayed. Be not over anxious. Be not overly concerned. Oh, fear not. Oh, there's much to cause fear. Naturally speaking, there's reasons to fear. Oh, but may the Lord applies his word. When he gives it the power, an unction, when he makes those promises in his word real and powerful as he applies them to his poor unworthy people, it's a fear not. There are those of us that can testify to the honour and glory of God, the effect of his applied word to us. We've had things in our lives, we've faced things in our lives, and the Lord has come in and he's been pleased to apply a fear not. And we've gone out of chapel. We've gone out of chapel and we've gone on our way, or we've stopped our own private reading and we've gone on our way, and everything's changed because the fear not has been, the word of God has been applied. And where fear was, that fear has been taken away. Although the thing itself has not been removed and still had to be walked through. But the whole thing changed. The whole outlook changed. Everything changed. The darkness went to light, and the sorrow went to joy under the power of the word applied. And may the Lord apply this word, and may he seal it into our hearts as a promise to us personally today. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. May God add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Parrish will address the Sunday School this afternoon. And after the evening service at 8 o'clock, there will be a minute's silence in memory of our late Queen, Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. Mr. Gilbert Hyde is expected to preach for us at 7 o'clock on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Chapman next Lord's Day. The collections next Lord's Day will be for the FGEA. And our friends at Oakington hope to hold their Thanksgiving service on Wednesday evening. Our closing hymn is 1036. Seek ye my face, the Saviour cries. My soul, where canst thou find supplies but in the Lamb for sinners slain, who has not shed his blood in vain? Hymn 1036.
Thank you.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.